Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we'll be talking about the physics of spirituality and how we think is what we become. In this show, we'll be looking at different modes of thinking in conjunction with the developmental process. Listen as we walk through the different paths of the TLC labyrinth and explain how observation has effect on reality. Initiation is the unfoldment of consciousness from material to mental to spiritual. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul to awaken in divine likeness. So Swami, why don't we just start right away with the title of our show this morning, and the title is Beauty is in the Eye of the Beholder. So let's talk about beauty, let's talk about the eye, and let's talk about the beholder.
Yeah, that will cover a lot of territory. Yeah, beauty is a judgment, I think. I want to recognize this whole thing of how we think is what we become. And this was something that we touched upon in last week's show when we started talking about the different zodiacal signs, the mutable signs, and the houses that they're associated with in the natural zodiac, having to do with different modes of thinking, that Gemini was the lower mind and it was all about rational thinking. Gemini really is more rooted in instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. So it's very base, it's very fundamental. But it is also relying on the testimony of our five senses. And as we move from Gemini into Virgo, which is the sixth house, and we talked about that, and because Virgo was more of what we would consider to be human intelligence, it's our ability to form thoughts and opinions. It is kind of like the second part or the complement to Gemini, the lower mind. And rational thinking, whether it be instinctual or more intelligent, is still based on duality. And duality is basically a belief in two powers. In this framework of having beauty or the polar opposite. So if you have beauty, you have the beast, or you have ugliness. This is something that we're talking about here as far as the beholder, the eye of the beholder, the consciousness of the person that is witnessing what it is that's before them. And if we're working with a five-sense mind and we're looking at something through our human eyes, the two eyes, then we have a tendency to be judgmental. I'm hoping to maybe get into in this particular show is how to rise above that and to start to move into the ninth house, Sagittarius, and the higher mind, which is more of the world's collective consciousness. It is individual subconsciousness. It's still working with the five-sense mind. It's still working with duality. but we're also moving out of the personal sense of I. That's something that I think we can talk about after this, is just the double use of the term I. There's EYE and then there's just capital I. And even though they sound the same, they're very different. But as we move from the material organs into this sense of self that we're talking about, consciousness, then we can start to move into the 12th house, which is Pisces, and that's the divine mind. And to start to see things with the divine mind means that you move beyond judgment, you move beyond a personal sense of I, and you're moving into the absolute. You're starting to see things as they truly are, in their finished divine likeness.
So what's interesting to me as we're talking about beauty is that I think we can all agree that flowers are beautiful, puppy dogs, anything like that. But then when we look at maybe insects, spiders, lizards and things like that, people don't associate beauty with those items, but yet those are still expressions of spirit, of God. And so how do we turn our judgment from the beauty that we see in flowers to the beauty that is in everything?
Right. And that means we have to move away from the testimony of our senses, because just like what you're saying, I mean, the concept of flowers, in that genre alone, there's weeds, and then there's what people call beautiful flowers. And it's very individual. It's subject to individual interpretation, because some people think dandelions are beautiful flowers, and other people think they're weeds. Again, that's all part of human thinking, judgment, and it all comes under the law of karma. Even insects, if you really drill down with some of these insects and you look at them, they're phenomenal. And there are some people that have an attraction and a love for that. And there are other people that don't like puppies. So this is stuff that's all subject to interpretation. And what we basically try and do is that we try and group ourselves and herd up with people that are of like-mindedness of us. But as we're moving out from lower mind to mid-mind to higher mind to divine mind, there's a quantum leap when you now start to forsake the testimony of your senses and you start to look beyond what is reporting in your mind. And you start to see what's invisible and intangible is really something that is beyond good and bad, beautiful and ugly. And it is reality in its completed form. And as we start to acquire a taste for this and we start to immerse ourselves in it and live out from it, then you have a whole different perspective of what you think life is.
Well, I'd like to get back and talk to you more about the different eyes. Like you said, the eye as the organ, EYE, the eye of us, the I am principle. And I'd also like to touch upon the third eye as well. So let's talk about the eye of the beholder. I think you had already mentioned that, of course, when we talked about using our five sense mind, that's what tells us what is beautiful. Somebody thinks roses are beautiful, somebody thinks dandelions are beautiful. But let's talk about how do we exercise the eye of our being? How do we exercise that to the true beauty of the world, or the true beauty of spirit?
I think interpreted as an unfolding. That as we start to move from being instinctual, emotional, reactive, And now we start to become more intelligent, and then we become more worldly in our perception of things. Even, say, for example, moving from being self-absorbed with the sensations in my personal body to being aware of that there are other people out there, and they have their own wants, needs, and agendas. And then starting to see things happening maybe on a larger, more global level, where we're moving from a pre-personal sense of awareness to a self-personal sense of awareness to a super-conscious sense of awareness. And this is happening as we are evolving and growing and moving beyond just seeing ourselves as a separate entity. And as your identity begins to transcend the limits of a physical form into a mental concept of yourself, and eventually into this spiritual concept of yourself, that is when you are starting to move into the awareness of this I am. And I really like what we say in Kriya Yoga, Aham Brahmasmi. I am the creative principle. And it's a 180-degree view of who we are when we identify with ourselves as an individual person with an opinion.
Well, I know in preparation for the show, we had spoken earlier about the fact we have like two physical eyes. There's two ears, two nostrils, and then you had mentioned that we have one mouth, and we also have that third eye, that one eye. Is it that we have to, our senses, we need to take them out of our organ eyes that we have and focus through the one third eye?
Right, that whole concept of making thine eye single. And I think a great example for this is, if you are more science-based, is the whole thing of the evolvement of the double slit experiment in quantum physics, where they started out with a single slit and they shot marbles at this slit, and on the screen behind the slit they had a particular single slit particle pattern that formed. And then they did the same thing with waves, and they wound up with a single slit wave pattern, which had a very dense center to it. Then they tried it with two slits. And the marbles, of course, they produced their particle pattern with two slits, which kind of resembled the one slit, just doubled. But then when they did that with waves in the double slit, they wound up with a pattern that really was very different than just the single slit experience. They did the whole thing with electrons, which are tiny, tiny particles. They found that the particles were responding as if they were waves. And then they put this measuring device on it, and then they found out that it went back to a particle pattern. And so this was when they found out that observation had effect on experiment. Just like what you were saying, we have two eyes. So what we are looking at is basically we're working with this theory that observation has effect on reality. When you move from looking with your human eyes or your material eyes to looking at something with the third eye is almost like going from the double slit, which is where you have this interplay between particles and waves, and the observer setting the measurement for the collapse of the wave function. And then you move into the third eye, which is now you're looking, you make your eye single. Now it's like you no longer have two slits, but you have the one slit. And what you find is that with the one slit, you don't have the interference pattern that you do when you're looking with your two eyes. And that's what enables us to start to experience the clarity that comes with a pure sense of consciousness.
Well, this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we will be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website www.ipdtransform.com for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, let's get back to talking about the third eye and how do we behold the beauty with the third eye.
Yeah, again, it's kind of an unfoldment. It's a process of where we're living out from. Moving from the mouth to the nose, to the third eye, is a shift in consciousness that starts to take place. And you're moving from human thoughts and human concepts and human beliefs into a spiritual sense of understanding, soul sense, which is a very different way of looking at what we call reality. Because you really are looking away from the testimony of your senses. You're looking away from what in the Bible was called this world. Jesus had said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so to look beyond the testimony of your senses, to look beyond what is appearing in your human mind, becomes a practice. It becomes a shift in consciousness that is starts to experience because you're substituting or forsaking human thinking for now divine knowing. And that's a very different mode of operation. And it's 180 degrees from the way we're socialized. It's 180 degrees from what we would consider to be a normal way of living. But by the same token, it becomes a practical guide for highly effective living, because to substitute human thinking for divine knowing means that you have to know that what is invisible and intangible is perfect, eternal, unchanging, whole, complete. And it is here right now. And by holding your attention on it, and that's where you move from the testimony of your two eyes into the testimony of your third eye, having awareness for the presence of this invisible, intangible source. That makes your mind an avenue of awareness for a different dimension of reality. And what starts to happen is the observer that sets the measurement for the collapse of the wave function. How we think is what we become. But if we are thinking with a five-sense mind, the best that we can outpicture is duality. But if we make our mind, our personal mind, an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine law, the presence of the truth of our being, for the presence of spirit, then that has a huge effect on the measurement that we are now setting for the collapse of the wave function. And this is how healing takes place. This is how miracles seem to happen. But a big part of it is holding your attention on this invisible, intangible source of sustenance that is present right here, and letting go of all of what is called now false beliefs, all of our concepts, and all of this human thinking that we are just inundated with that creates this interference pattern that prevents divine law from activating in our reality. And so as a result, we are outpicturing, even at its very best, it's good that becomes bad. It is anything that we put into form deteriorates with time. But once we start to live out from the perfection of our being and we clothe the raiment of our mind with divine idea, then we can start to live out from the perfection of being. And when we do that, we move into eternity. We move into the changeless state of being. And it is experienced as bliss, wonder, awe. And the reason it's indescribable is because all of our descriptions and opinions are based on duality. They're based on a reality that's apart from this unified field, this unity consciousness that we're talking about.
So what we want to do is when we look out at the world with our two eyes, our organs, we want to try to look at things not as if something is ugly and something is beautiful. Because if we do that, then we're operating from a different level of consciousness. We're not operating from a divine consciousness. We're operating out of a human consciousness.
Yeah, that's 100% right. And once we start to realize, first of all, how we're doing it, but also we open ourselves up to the opportunity that, and I love this phrase, repent, that we can think differently, that we don't have to accept the testimony of our senses. And eventually you start to realize that it's a false sense of existence. And the reason it's a false sense of existence is because it is not under divine law. It is not under the jurisdiction of the creative principle of this universe. And so you're living in the shadow of truth. And the only thing that is making it appear to be real to you is your belief in it. And as we start to awaken from this hypnotic state that we talked about last week, you start out with your toe in the water, granted, but the reason is that you're starting to learn from not from what it is that is reporting in your five sense mind, but what is in your consciousness that is in harmony with the I of your being. And that's the capital I and not the EYE.
Well, I want to recite a statement that we have in our notes, and I wonder if you could expand upon that for our listeners. And that is, our ability to form thoughts and opinions is of our belief in two powers, which is ignorance. It is ignorant because it is sowing to the flesh and void of the spirit. And just wondering if you could really drill that down for us.
Yeah, starting to figure out what the Bible was saying as far as sowing to the flesh and sowing to the spirit, and what is it that I identify with. The origins of all of our problems on a human level really come down to the simple fact that we have a belief in matter. That we think life is in matter. We think matter is supporting life. That's the philosophy of our whole medical scientific thinking. And so we really have put out all of our faith in material means. And then the next octave of that, which is the flip side of it, is human thinking. the mind, human consciousness. We think that by changing our thoughts, we change our reality. And what we're finding, though, is that with these beliefs and these concepts and these theories, at best, we're going to find is we can change finite bad to finite good. And so you're kind of lost in this accepting something that is less than human potential. Greater human potential is found in the presence of spirit. Our ignorance, or the term ignorance in yoga, comes from the term avidya, which is basically mistaking the impermanent for the permanent. And so the things that are impermanent, which are visible and tangible particles, and things that are invisible but tangible, waves and thoughts, these are the impermanent parts of creation or reality. And our belief in them perpetuates this cycle of death and rebirth. And so by sowing to the flesh the things that are visible and tangible, invisible but tangible, we perpetuate this regressive cycle that we're stuck in, this cycle of death and rebirth. And in order for us to experience what was called liberation or freedom, we have to understand that there's a difference between ignorance and truth. And truth is really the presence of spirit. And spirit is invisible and intangible. But when we sow to it, when we live out from it, it has such a dramatic change on our experience that we externalize that they developed all of these religions around it. And then as the origins of these religions, as you get further and further away from them, you start to see that they lose their potency. And so we fall back into these traps, and then we go with what we think humanly makes the most sense, which would be the testimony of our five-sense mind.
So we really need to kind of back ourselves away from having to have this need for beautiful things in our life, whether it's beautiful people or beautiful items or whatever it might be, and then understand that we basically don't even need any of that to live to the fullest.
Absolutely. In fact, our attachment to these things, even our attachment to our physical body, becomes a barrier to us experiencing our impersonal spiritual sense of selfhood. The trade-off is one is mortal and the other is immortal. One is finite, the other is infinite. One is eternal, and the other one has an expiration date. But there's a trade-off. You can't live in a physical form and live in the kingdom of heaven at the same time. And that's what we keep saying, the physics of spirituality is like attracts like, and two things can't occupy the same space at the same time. So whatever it is that you sow to, whatever it is that you desire, will determine your outcome.
Well, I think we should start closing down our show for today. So listeners, I do want to remind you about Wednesdays. We have a webinar at noon, and Swami is going to tell us how you can get access to that.
Yeah, if you go to the website on any page, you go to the button that says online classes, click it on. That will bring you to a page of our online classes and scroll down to where it says Pray on Prana, and that is the free Wednesday noon seminar. You can register by clicking on the register button.
And so be sure to visit that website, and the address is www.ipdtransform.com. And also don't forget, Wednesdays at 5 o'clock is our Facebook Live episode that we do every week. Swami, any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to accept their uniqueness And rather than working on the external picture, really start to experience the perfection of your own being by seeing yourself spiritually with your single eye and the eye of your being. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.